Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Alfred Adask, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What is today's date? Looks like it must be Tuesday, the 22nd day of October, year of our Lord, 2013. We've got a guest today, Donna Lee. Donna has been doing some remarkable research into how her local government operates and what her local government may actually be. And this goes a long way toward helping people to understand the kinds of tax burdens that they are consenting to. It raises questions. Do we have to consent to these tax burdens? Should we consent to these tax burdens? We'll get to Don in a couple of minutes. First, we'll do the market report. Gold is, let me refresh this right now and see where it is today. Hang on just a second. All right, gold is up $24.50 for the day to $1,342.10 per ounce. That's 1.8%. Good day for gold. Silver is up half a percent. Excuse me, silver is up 2.2%, it's up 49 cents to $28.83 per ounce. Platinum is up $17 to $1,454 an ounce. Palladium is up 3 to $756 per ounce. Dow Jones is up 75 points to 15,467. NASDAQ is up 10 points to 3,929. New York Stock Exchange is up 80 points, 10,063. U.S. dollar index is down 0.48 to 79.23. Crude oil is down $1.42 a barrel to $97.59 per barrel. I'm looking at about 17 indicators, economic indicators right now, and they are all up. 15 are up, with the exception of the U.S. dollar index and crude oil. Those are the only two that are down today, and I am interested to see that the U.S. dollar is down to 79.23, was a little bit lower early. It was down to 79.20 a little earlier in the day. It's come back a couple of points, 0.03. It's interesting to me because over the past year or more, it's appeared that government was bound and determined to hold the 80 line and the U.S. dollar index. They were going to keep the dollar at 80 on the U.S. dollar index or above. And here we are, we're below 80. We're even down low enough where we can wonder if we might see the U.S. dollar index drop down into the 78 range. Now, that wouldn't be earth-shaking. It wouldn't be monumental. We've seen dollar index down below 72 in the last year or two. So it wouldn't be extraordinary to see the dollar fall below even 79 into the 78 range. But it would be a leaf in the breeze. It would not be proof, but it would be evidence, preliminary evidence, too early to rely on, but preliminary evidence that perhaps we're beginning to see a significant decline in the value of the dollar, not just the daily up and down, but maybe there's a trend here. It remains to be seen. We'll watch and we'll learn more as we go on. In any case, we're going to have a special gold special today that Melody has made available. Folks, we'll bring it to your attention after the first break. In the meantime, let's start the program with Donna Lee. Donna, are you here?
I am here, Alfred. I am very happy to be with you today.
Glad to have you here. Now, Donna has been digging into her county. She's in Florida. But I don't know if you want to name the county at this point in time. Is that true or false?
It's true in the respect that I've given them 30 calendar days in which to correct and reconvey everything they've stolen back to all of the people here. So they have 12 more days in which to do so out of the 30 calendar days.
Okay.
Hopefully.
So you've initiated a lawsuit, or you've initiated a lawsuit, or at least a notice to the county.
Yes, I have.
And they've got another 12 days to respond.
Right, and to correct.
Okay.
Thing that they've stolen. There's a little bit of a sedation that may be helpful for people to really understand what went on in this particular situation. Basically, there are counties all over, everywhere in every state. But some people got together and decided to do what's the charter county, and it's basically an overlay. And what they're calling a county under the pretext of home rule, putting out to the people that, we want to, rule ourselves and, we want to keep things closer to home and, away from the long arm of the state. And, so basically you give a charter. Kind of sounded like a good idea in what was presented. However, the people that voted for this charter weren't told that none of their constitutional rights would convey and comport over to this new private charter.
What we're talking about right now, let's be clear about this. What we're talking about is, we've got a new kind of government at the county level that's masquerading under the role of local government or home rule, and this home rule government is not necessarily recognizing the rights on which this country was founded. True?
Exactly. That's exactly what's going on. And Alfred, you're very knowledgeable and the competent and the principles and the public trust and all this. And as you are well aware, only the people, you or I or non-governmental entities can advocate a change of our government. And what happened with this charter county is that people never got together and said, well, change our constitutional self-government. It was full of profiteers and what I believe to be a tweet that petitioned the state to initiate a commission to be engaged with a charter review commission, but petitioned the state to where they could do this charter overlay over the existing meets and bounds and parameters of the charter that was already there. And what people weren't told about this, yet was put out so as a vote for the people. And the people voted it in, but the people were not informed that all of their property rights would be passed over to this private corporate charter. The people were
all right, what we're talking about now, let's what we're talking about is when we say private corporate charter, when you say that,
mm-hmm.
we are talking about an entity that's acting as if it were the government of the county, that is, in fact, something that has more in common with Walmart or than it does with a constitutional government. It's essentially a private entity that's acting as if it's government, but it's not. Is that true?
Exactly. That, you nailed it right on the head. That is exactly what's going on. And people have been wondering lately, well, how is everything going so wrong? What is wrong with everything? Well, this is one of those things that have been uncovered that absolutely explains, you know. Now, the people have what's called an employer identification number, which is used for government entities to be able to access funds. And what's happened is these private entities, they have to at least give the appearance of being a government entity in order to access the people's funds. And what I've uncovered...
What do you mean by access the people's funds? What funds are we talking about, and what do you mean by access the people's funds? Are you talking about their bank accounts, or what are we talking about?
We're talking about the money that that a government entity would be entitled to when it acts in a government capacity.
All right, there are taxes. Let's just then we are saying that a de jure government, a constitutional government, would be entitled to impose taxes on the people of the county, the state, the city, wherever, whatever that jurisdiction was. But
exactly.
In order for this private entity to also access those taxes, they've got to come up with a certain amount of trickery in order to, or deception or whatever, but they've got to come up with something to entice. It's the equivalent of me saying, well, I want the tax money that you should be paying to the county. How do I go
right.
about collecting it? True?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And a very wise man once said, the easiest way to steal from anybody is to steal money they never knew they even had. Ever even knew they ever had. So what's happening is money is being stolen to such a degree that, I mean, it's almost mind-boggling. I'm almost, it's to the point of almost disbelief, even for me. And I've seen the actual papers. I've seen all the documentation. Yeah,
give us an example of the kind of documentation you're talking about right now that leads you to the conclusion that what passes for government in your county is essentially robbing the people. What kind of paperwork supports that contention?
I have seen the actual Board of County Commissioners insurance policies whereby they have named themselves as beneficiaries for every crime, every marine accident, every aviation accident, every car accident, every arson, every terrorist act, just anything you could imagine, just anything and everything that could go wrong, every casualty, every every death. These seven have named themselves as beneficiaries.
All right, let me see if I understand correctly. You're saying that, if I understand, if I am understanding or assuming that you mean that there are one or more insurance policies that are being paid for by the public. Nevertheless, the insurance policies name the six, seven, however many county commissioners you have as the beneficiaries of those insurance policies. The public's paying the premium, but the commissioners, the county commissioners, are actually the beneficiaries. And any time that insurance policy has to pay out, the county commissioner gets to pocket the money in their own private account. Is that roughly correct?
That is absolutely correct. And it gets even worse. It actually gets worse than that for numerous different reasons. For starters, the more statutes, the more ordinances that they keep up, that we would never have had these ordinances, et cetera, if we would have just never had the charter to begin with. It was positioned as, oh, we're going to do this great home rule charter, and, you know, so we could rule ourselves. But what they did was they added on a bunch of ordinances, a bunch of codes, so thereby making more people within this charter county. It made them more ticketable, given more citations, more court dates, and with all that money, all the monies that are paid go straight back to the county commissioner. Also, what's very frightening, Alfred, is it benefits the county commissioner directly when like police and the general public are pitted up against each other, because they have the life insurance policy on everybody in this county, including their employees. So it benefits them when there is adversity, when there are injuries, and when there are deaths.
Now, let me be clear about this. Are you saying that they have an insurance policy on everyone who is resident of the county, or only everyone who is working for the government?
I believe it's everybody within the county itself, whether they're constitutional officers, statutory officers, or any of the public.
I can understand that that might be true relative to government employees. But trying to put insurance policies on everyone who's in everyone who's resident of the county, that's a pretty interesting argument, because the expense has got to be, I'd assume it would have to be enormous, unless the payout was pretty small on, you know, I mean, if you took a $5,000 life insurance policy, I don't imagine the premium is that much, but still a lot of people would imply that there'd be an enormous insurance premium there. Go ahead to respond to that. You got about 20 seconds, and then we're going to have to take a break, Donna.
Okay. Well, I have seen their insurance policies, and Walmart got busted doing this a few years back.
Key man insurance policies is what it comes down to, and I've seen it down here in Texas, too, where they've taken out key man insurance policies. They're betting that you're going to die. And if you do, they get rich. They make some money off the deal. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'll be back with Donna Lee in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival. Melody's got a day off. Well, not exactly a day off, but she's a day off from the radio program. She's still working and slaving at the office, but she's not on the radio program today. Our guest is Donna Lee. We'll get to Donna shortly. First, I want to remind you, Melody has a special. And her special today is, oh, I also want to remind you that we've had news on the employment numbers were released today, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. They're not quite as high as government had hoped, and we'll discuss what this means, along with a drop in the dollar and oil prices also falling, and how this impacts the price of gold. We'll get to it tomorrow. We'll talk a little more about it tomorrow, but right now I want to remind you, here's Melody's special du jour. Melody's favorite small coin is a $5 Liberty gold piece, almost a quarter of an ounce of gold. It's all dated pre-1933. It's great for barter, numismatic value, protection against confiscation, privacy, and performance. You get a $5 Liberty gold coin. Just a shade shy of a quarter of an ounce of gold, and a free Silver Eagle dollar, free shipping, all for the grand total of $450. That's a savings of $25 over the regular price. Again, $450 for a $5 Liberty gold coin, a free Silver Eagle, free shipping, $450. Give Melody a call at 1-800-375-4188. And don't forget that your name will be placed in a drawing that it'll be held next Friday, November 1st. For an MS62 $10 Indian gold piece and a roll of 20 1-ounce silver eagles. That's two separate prizes. The gold coin will go to whoever wins, and the 20 1-ounce silver eagles will come in, will be sent to whoever is in second place. Again, your name goes in a hat. We'll have a drawing on November 1st, and for anyone who orders this month. All right, Donna, are we there? Are you there? Hello, Donna. Okay, Donna is not yet here. We've had trouble with the phone, and I'm not absolutely certain what's going on. I'm going to talk about something else here while I'm waiting for Donna to get back on, and we'll get a note from Donna shortly. Let me just talk about the definition. Let's see if I can find this. There we go. This is Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 5, which defines the term United States. Okay? This is the law, and this is the definition of the United States. Title 18 is the criminal code, federal criminal code, and Section 5 defines the term United States and says the term United States, as used in this title in a territorial sense, includes all places and waters, continental or insular, subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, except the canal zone. Now, what's peculiar about that? It's a single-sentence definition. It's not all that many words. Let me see how many words are in that definition altogether. Does it tell me? Yeah, it does. 33 words. It's a long sentence, but regardless, it's not extraordinarily long. But the problem is, they said the term United States, in used in a territorial sense, includes all the waters, continental and insular, subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Now, I can remember back in 7th or 8th grade, this goes back into the late 1950s, when they taught me that you can't, when you define a word, you can't use the word as part of the definition. Huh? In other words, if someone defines the word red, the color red, all right, R-E-D, and they define it as, they define it, they say, the color red. That's the meaning of the word red. You can't do that. You've got to find another way to describe the word red without using the same word. You can't use it for part of a proper definition. And yet here we have the United States as defined as subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. They're using United States to define United States. It becomes confusing. It becomes hard to understand. But it's probably explained by the fact that United States, used in a territorial sense, is a different United States than the United States that has jurisdiction over this territory. Now, I know that's confusing and it's hard to follow, and you wonder, what the heck? And it's part of the mystery of government in this country. It's part of the problem we have with government. They define terms, they use terms in ways that are intended to confuse, deceive, and allow government to execute powers against us based on our own confusion and inability to understand this kind of definition. We should have a word, we should have a definition for United States that is clear to everyone. We don't. It's not an accident. We are caught in a situation where government wants us to be deceived. And our guest today, Donna Lee, is Donna back now?
I'm back.
All right. I do. Okay. Hopefully, we've got a better connection. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't.
Alfred, I'd like to apologize to your listeners right now. Ever since I've been digging into, you know, really doing deep research into what is going on, and particularly after I noticed, did the notice of intent to file claims and copied the Attorney General and the Department of Financial Regulation. Ever since then, I have had, I've been stopped at every turn. I feel I'm being electronically inhibited, and you know, I expected it, but it's obvious that I'm being impeded in getting the message out. So I do apologize.
Work with what we have to work. It's hard to know for sure. I mean, how confident are you that you're being subjected to an intentional impediment? Is that a suspicion? High level of confidence, or, you know,
it's absolutely known. To the point where people that I have, some people that I have talked to about this, have actually had strange devices put on their telephone poles. And I had the phone company come out three times. This was a few years ago. To check as to what the problem was with my phones, and they kept saying, "Nope, there's absolutely nothing wrong." It's at the point where I can be talking to someone, and I'll be put on hold, or I'll put them on hold to get another call, and I will actually hear people in the background, you know, moving about, talking, sneezing, whatever. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious. I just say hello to them anymore. You know, I hope that I'm keeping them entertained. It's blatantly obvious. So.
You know, for the average person, those kinds of stories are incredible, hard to believe, and they tend to detract from people's credibility. It's hard to believe.
Well,
but I can tell you something, that back in the day, back around 1990, I started publishing a magazine critical of the judicial system and attorneys. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed is I was on the radio, I was on telephone call, I'd be on a telephone call talking to someone like I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the background, there'd be a certain amount of white noise. And it's completely, you don't even pay attention to it. You're not conscious of it. There's just a shh sound in the background on the telephone call. And where I became aware is once in a while, I'd have someone I'm talking to on the phone who all of a sudden they got a call. Someone came knocking at the door and they said, "Wait a second, I got to go to the door. I'll be right back." And while I'm sitting on the phone, listening, waiting for them to come back, I'm not talking, they're not talking, and I become aware of this shh sound that's in the background. And it's just, it's not loud, but you don't even pay attention to it normally. But after they leave and I don't talk and they don't talk, for about 5 seconds, it would go, and it would diminish down to where it was dead silent. And the first thing I did is snap my fingers. I thought, "What's that?" And I snapped my fingers. I could tell it had to be something voice actuated. I snapped my fingers, and right away, it's back up to full steam again, and it would go along. And after 5 seconds, I didn't say anything, didn't snap my fingers, nobody else said anything, it dropped back down to zero again. So I came to understand, or at least believe, that the lines were being tapped and there was some sort of a voice-actuated device on it. Now, I never knew that to be true. I've never been able to verify one way or another. It was a strong suspicion. But I can tell you that I'm familiar with this kind of suspicion, and it's not just a matter of paranoia. Strange things happen. And I had a high level of confidence, but again, I can't prove it. So all I want to say is you're not alone. I've assumed that my telephone was tapped for years, and if it is, I wish I could call up. So if you want to listen to all my dopey phone calls, how would you like to have someone who was responsible? You know, it's like going to Aunt Marge and watching her pictures of her vacation to South Dakota, and you see one prairie dog farm after another, and say, "Oh, and here's another bunch of prairie dogs. Oh, my gosh, when is it going to end?" I would have to imagine if you had real people who had to listen to my phone calls, I mean, they would be driven out of their mind, because a lot of them just bore me, and I'm sure if you're not even part of the conversation, you catch my drift. I've thought for years, I'd like to be able to call them up and say, "Look, if you're tapping the phone, that's okay with me. I don't mind. You go ahead and tap the phone, but could I call you once in a while when I'm talking to someone and I lose track of their phone number? And I could call you up and you could kind of function like my private secretary, and you say, what was that I was talking to, you know, about 4 o'clock on last Tuesday?" And I left a number. I'd like to be able to get her, you know, share the recording.
Right.
In any case, let's move on with what we're talking about here. And let's talk about concrete evidence that you've seen in terms of insurance policies. First, let's talk about how did you get the idea to ask the county to tell you or provide you with copies of their insurance policies. How did that happen?
4 years ago, you know, people in the county were just getting thrown out of their homes due to foreclosures, et cetera, et cetera. And I was horrified. And so I called county risk management, and they gave me such a hard time over one policy. I just wanted the policy that covered the county employees pertaining to the sheriff and the clerk, you know, et cetera. And they gave me such a hard time. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I can see why it doesn't matter who I am. If I'm an employee, I would get it. If I'm a member of the public, you better give it to me. So it doesn't matter who I am. I want to know what the insurance policy. I want the policy. And they were saying, well, you know, we'll get it sent to you when we can. I said, acceptable. I said, I'm talking to the entity that handles and holds the insurance for these entities in this county. Now, what is the insurance policy? Who is the underwriter, et cetera, et cetera? And then it got down to, they said they would send it to me within 2 weeks. And I said, no. I said, I'm not getting off the phone until I get this insurance information. And so I was on the phone for about an hour, and they gave me the insurance policy and policy number. The insurance policy was Star Insurance Company, and I almost fell off my chair, Alfred, when they told me that the underwriter for this insurance policy was Wells Fargo. I was livid. I was like, wait a minute. Wells Fargo is the one that is suing the majority of the people here for foreclosure, and Wells Fargo is underwriting the indemnification for these public servants to act in contrary to the Constitution. I mean, just think about that. I was like, what in the world? I was just gobsmacked, or whatever that word is.
Are you suggesting that Wells Fargo, by acting as underwriter for some of the insurance policies that were held for the benefit of perhaps the county, or at least the county employees, hard to say how to phrase this, nevertheless, they were using the county employees to enforce mortgage foreclosures in a way that might be unlawful, and they were protecting them by providing them insurance against the possibility they might be sued for proceeding illegally? Is that what you're implying here?
That's exactly what I am stating, 100%, that Wells Fargo was the underwriter on this policy that covered covered the public servants, public officials, whatever anybody wants to call them, was actually covering their malfeasance.
Which means if they were to foreclose improperly or illegally on a home, Wells Fargo was guaranteeing that they would cover them if they were sued, and Wells Fargo was one of the beneficiaries, I presume, for what may have been an unlawful or fraudulent foreclosure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not implying that. I am 1,000% stating that with absolute certainty. And
let me do this. We've got 30 seconds left till we take our next break.
Okay.
You got hold of one of the insurance policies, or at least you found out the information over the telephone. And then later on, you managed to get hold of more of the insurance policies. How many of the county insurance policies have you laid hands on? Actually,
over 80.
Over 80. Now, the point to all of this, ladies and gentlemen, is that these insurance policies are gold mines of information. And the reason Donnelly is here in part is to help you understand that if you're curious about investigating your county, one of the places to look is get hold of the insurance policies. I'm Alfred Addis. We're here on Financial Survival with Donna Lee. I'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Donna Lee. Donna is calling from Florida. She has spent 4 years digging into the operations of her county. She doesn't want to name the county right this moment because she has some paperwork in that they have. The county still has 12 days to respond, and she doesn't want to compromise that response by naming the county on the radio program right now. But I've been familiar with Donna. We've never met face-to-face, but I understand what she's doing. We've talked over, off and on, over 6 months or so. And she has succeeded in laying hands on several score of insurance policies. And then she has succeeded in disciplining herself to sit down and read these insurance policies, and I would have to imagine the average person, oh my gosh, what could be duller than reading somebody else's insurance policies, Donna? How did you manage to force yourself to read these documents?
There was, to give a really quick foundational overview, again, in the beginning of this year, I wanted a particular insurance policy number, underwriter, et cetera. And again, well, it was even worse this time. The county risk management didn't want to give me the one. So I said, okay, well, I want all of them then. And I persisted and kept up until they sent me all the policies. What really got me motivated to continue was not only did approximately 98% of all of these insurance policies name the Board of County Commissioners themselves as beneficiary, I also noticed that they had also, in four of the policies, had named the Board of, now bear in mind it's up, there's a name of the county and then county, Board of County Commissioners, LLC, which was named as the beneficiary of four of these policies. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. How can a government entity attach a so-called government entity attach an LLC to the end of its name? That completely made no sense to me. So I looked for it.
An LLC means?
limited liability corporation.
All right. Which
and
is presumably a private entity rather than the public entity in the sense we think about government. Is that true?
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I went to sunbiz.org. That's the official site for the Florida Secretary of State Division of Corporations, and there was no LLC listed in that name. So I
why would we expect one to be there?
Because it's a limited liability corporation, and
no,
they're required.
I get that. But the point is, the Secretary of State, he has a list of all the corporations that are licensed to do business within that particular state. Isn't that true?
Exactly. Very true.
And if you're not, if you have an LLC, a limited liability corporation, I'm going to assume, and I think you're assuming, that there should be a listing. All right, if they're an LLC, there should be a listing at the Secretary of State's office, but there wasn't.
There was not.
Tells
us what. So what I did was I called the Secretary of State Division of Corporations, and I asked them to look. Two different women there were completely overwhelmed. They said, oh, my gosh. One said, oh, my gosh, this is what they were talking about. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, shadow government. This is what they were talking about, because she said, this does not exist in our database.
Then
so
there's an entity masquerading as the government in your county, or at least part of the government in your county, that is, in fact, that appears to be a private entity that is not, and if it were, it should at least be listed with the Secretary of State's office. If it's not listed with the Secretary of State's office, is it acting illegally?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because what I see happening is this entity is portraying itself as a government agency and is stealing funds through the people's EIN number from the Treasury under the guise of being a legitimate government, mm-hmm. and they're shooting the monies, credits, and property out the back door through the limited liability corporation. Four of those policies that the people paid for, by the way, thinking it was a government entity, the LLC is named as the beneficiary.
So the people are paying for this, and they're not only supposing that this LLC is a government entity, they're supposing that the benefits of these policies, if any, would accrue to the people. Not
exactly.
To some limited elite group of what appear to be gangsters.
They are absolute, unequivocal gangsters that have, if people had any idea how much money, how much credits, how much property is being segued over to what I would liken what's going on here in this charter, which is actually a franchise, which I consider sub-federal because not local government or a political subdivision. I consider it sub-federal because it is taking federal funds. I would liken it to, and people, please research this. You can just Google this. I liken it to a public-private partnership. And if you just Google the sheriff who sold his county, this is very similar to what's going on here in this county here in Florida. Now, the sheriff, I believe his name is Jim Winder, but he was elected as sheriff of Salt Lake County, Utah. And the instant he was elected sheriff, he dissolved the office of sheriff, immediately became CEO of the Unified Police Force. He formed a whole new organization, Unified Police Force, which commingled the sheriff's department and local police, and they started sending out police protection fee invoices to the people in that county. And I actually know some people who actually got the invoices, and they were first told it's voluntary to pay, but then they mutated it where if you don't pay, we'll take your house for non-payment. I mean, it has gotten so obvious now that the appearance is not even there. It's really,
the appearance
really
of legitimacy. Yeah. They're just right in your face. We're going to take it, and so on. And what we're seeing in your research and what you've reported from county in Utah, we're seeing, on the one hand, government is going too far. On the other hand, we're seeing people like yourself that are beginning to resist government usurpation of powers, and not just resist, but actually make some interesting discoveries. You're dealing in one county in Florida. Do you think that the evidence you've seen of criminal or at least unethical behavior by your local government, do you think that's confined to your particular county? Do you think other counties in Florida, and perhaps do you have a notion of what percentage might be doing the same thing?
The last statistics that I saw showed that there were at least 20 counties in Florida that were charter counties.
Okay.
I don't know what date that was, where that figure was given, so I haven't vetted, you know, if more charter overlays have been done here. But we're seeing it all over. And here is the problem. Here's a major, major problem. When Alfred or I or anybody else sees that the contract is not being followed, I mean, the Constitution was to restrain the government, not us. I mean, it's their restraint, and they're required to go by that contract. And when Alfred or I or anybody else, you know, all we want is specific performance. I mean, we want them to, you know, follow their own ironclad agreement that they swore an oath to abide by. We never swore an oath to them. They swore an oath to us. And when they fall out of the constitutional guidelines, you know, we just want them to go back to their sworn oath and everything. But what they're doing is, instead of saying, okay, well, we'll get back in our box, they'll actually have the audacity to turn around and call us anti-government when all we want is for them to act in a governmental manner.
They are calling you sovereigns, anti-government, terrorists, a bunch of other things, because you are threatening to expose them in what may be criminal activity. Now,
and remember, the more things that they make a terrorist act, the more they benefit from through their insurance policy.
Now, this is pretty spectacular. First off, the first sign that you might be, that people listening to this program, you might be in a county that has these kinds of problems is, if I'm understanding correctly, whether the county is or is not called a charter county. Is that true?
Yes.
The charter, when you have the county as a charter county, it indicates that the county may be operating on a private basis rather than a public basis. They are private corporations rather than working as part of the de jure government. All right, so first thing you're going to look for is you're going to find out, is your county a charter county? If it is, then maybe you're going to see problems similar to what Donna's reporting in Florida. The next thing, if it is a charter county, you're going to want to acquire, lay hands on insurance policies, because they're a gold mine of information if you can read them, right? Which is not all that easily done. Is there a website? Is there a blog where people can visit and see examples of what you've discovered?
I have not set it up yet.
Okay.
But I promise you, Alfred, you know, there may be people out there that think, well, you know, since I at this particular moment in time, I'm not disclosing the actual name of the county. It's because I have given them 30 days in which to amend and right their wrongs. And if I don't give them that full 30 calendar days, you know, I feel my word is my bond. And I want all the rightful owners to be given back what was snatched away from them. And but I will guarantee you this, I would be more than happy to come back on after the 12 days, and I'd be happy to give you the names, the policies, the name of the county, everything. That is absolutely no problem whatsoever. It's going to be public anyway on day 13. So
let me ask you another question. Here's something from our producer, and he says it's his opinion that all counties have a charter. And he's asking, do you actually mean that they are home rule counties rather than merely charter counties?
In my opinion, I believe they're all charters anyway. But there's an additional overlay of a home rule charter. Now this
you've got a home rule charter on top of what might be deemed a constitutional charter, for lack of a better term. Would that be roughly correct or not?
Roughly correct, but in between that, there would also be another charter in between. You know, the white filling of the Oreo, at least one more center.
So we've got wheels within wheels, and it's going to take some effort to uncover this. We've only got about 45 seconds left. What do you expect to achieve by exposing this problem in Florida? I mean, yourself and for the other people who live in that county, what do you expect to achieve?
I would like the government to go back into its box as required, and the actual trustees, and to stop profiting and wringing the wealth and treasure and blood and sweat equity out of everyone, and do abide by their oath.
I understand, and a lot of people are agreeing with that. It's part of the Tea Party movement and the anonymous movement and Occupy Wall Street movement. There is a growing limited government movement, and what you're doing is part of that. Don, I want to thank you for being on the program. We're out of time. I will be back tomorrow with Melody. I want to thank all of you folks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Melody. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Donna, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's you.